Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. A seminary student once shared this memory. When I was growing up in Iowa, he reflected, 14 was the age we received our driver's permit. I can still remember the first time my father had me drive the family car. He took me to a little-traveled, two-lane country highway. Everything was going well until we came upon a narrow bridge. Comfortably cruising along at nearly 60 miles an hour, I couldn't understand why my dad suddenly became fidgety. I'd never seen him squirm like that before. Finally, I asked, "What's wrong?" He fired back, "Are you going to move over?" "Oh," I replied, "I didn't realize. I didn't realize I was about to shear off the whole right side of my parents' car." But my father knew. I didn't realize, but my father knew. Can you identify with his experience? Ash Wednesday calls us together to hear again the stories of Jesus' passion for you and me. I'm sure your life is busy. You don't have time to hear these stories in a mindless sort of way. You don't want to hear the stories in a routine, in one ear and out the other sort of way. You've come here to grow spiritually. We want the word of the cross to go in both ears, to get into our heads and work its way down to our hearts. We want to leave worship today with a new appreciation that, as the student said, "I didn't realize, but my Father knew." As Jesus himself said from the cross, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." We want to leave here today knowing that life is best lived when we live it totally in the Father's hands. Now, we all know, if we don't suspect, that life is not always better in the hands of other people. For example, is your life better when you leave it in the hands of the government? Is your life better when you leave it in the hands of Wall Street? Is life better when we put ourselves completely into the hands of science or technology? Now, to be sure, we've been greatly blessed by science and technology, just as government and financial institutions have given us great benefits. But to totally entrust our lives to them? Are those fail-safe ways to accelerate towards happiness and security? So what's left? Well, more and more people are saying, "Life is better in my hands." The teenage driver was confident he was doing it the right way, and he admitted, "I didn't realize I was about to shear off the entire right side of my parents' car." Isn't that an accurate picture of how many people are living their lives right now? And if we're very candid, might we admit we live our lives that way sometimes ourselves? So what's left in this list? only the cross of Jesus Christ. From the cross, we hear him say, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Shouldn't Ash Wednesday repentance drive us to confess that life is better when we entrust it to the Heavenly Father? Ash Wednesday repentance drives us to say, life is not better in my hands. Life can only be better when I entrust my whole being, 24/7, 365, into the hands of the Heavenly Father. That's what 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 25 is all about. Peter was writing to Christians everywhere, but specifically he was writing to Christian slaves in Asia Minor. Many of them lived wretched lives. Peter does something really surprising. He urges them not to strike out against their masters. Don't, he says, take life into your own hands. Instead, he points them to the example of Christ the Savior. Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Life is better, Peter says, when we entrust ourselves to our Heavenly Father's judgment. But there's something even more important going on here. As much as Jesus is our model for entrusting our lives to God, the reason that we're in church is because Jesus is not simply an example to follow. He is our Savior from sin. He's our Savior from when we do not follow his example very well at all. And the good news is he has forgiven you and me for placing our lives in our own hands rather than his. Listen, God's own promise. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you are like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The forgiveness he gives comes to you, and it's such a change from the world around us, such a change for the world to come, that we're left to do one thing. Pray the Spirit of God to lead us to put ourselves totally and completely in the hands of a loving Father. Our Father forgives. Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. God's word adds, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. True repentance is confessing our sins and receiving God's forgiveness for Jesus' sake. And then, and here's something that we too often forget, in gratitude we will pray God's Spirit to help us live holier lives. How? Well, one way is to keep doing what you have, in fact, done, coming together around the cross of Jesus to ponder the stories of our salvation, those stories heard so many times, yet still treasured, the stories about Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, the story of Jesus remembering the deliverance of Israel by eating of the Passover, the story of our Lord in that dark night at Gethsemane, the story of the injustices wrought by the religious establishment and the government, the story of his death, and the crowning story of all, his vindication at Easter. We cannot let these stories go in one ear and out the other. These are the stories that keep going into both ears and into our minds and down into our hearts. And the way this happens is by coming together again and again and again as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Our life together in this church is different than any other association that you have in your life. Life together here is a way that the Holy Spirit keeps putting our lives in the hands of the Heavenly Father. As the old hymn suggests, I love to tell the story. For those who know it best, keep hungering and thirsting to hear it, like the rest. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German theologian, once wrote, "Beware of being alone. Into the community you were called. The call was not meant for you alone. In the community of the called, you bear the cross, you struggle, you pray. If you scorn the fellowship of brothers and sisters, you reject the call of Jesus, and thus your solitude can only be hurtful to you. Yes, on this Ash Wednesday, let us be reminded in a new way. Life together is better in the Father's hands. Amen.